The church gives us a challenging gospel this morning. I want to focus on this story of the man who runs up to Jesus with this pressing question, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a really good question. It's good that he's asking this question because he's thinking about the most important things. Very often in our life, we can get caught up in things that are relatively unimportant, but our life with God, which is the most important thing here and hereafter, should be a source of pressing questions within us. And so this man, feeling within himself this need, thinking about eternal things, runs up to Jesus and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So the way that I like to look at this story is Jesus helping this man to see how he can progress in the spiritual life. And so Jesus starts out with the commandments. Okay, you want life. In other words, you want life with me, the giver of life. Well, let's talk about the commandments. And then Jesus lists them. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, honor your father and mother, etc. We could think of these as like the basics if we want to have a life with God. If we want to have a life with God, first of all, we have to follow the commandments, which means essentially we can't do anything egregiously incongruous with God's love. Taking the life of another, cheating on our spouse, stealing, lying, betraying our father and mother, all of these things would be egregious violations of our relationship with God. So that's where Jesus starts. We, as Catholics, might include not just the commandments, we would definitely include them too, but we might also include the precepts of the church as what we would call like the minimum if we want to have a relationship with God. Or we could say the foundation if we want to have a relationship with God. So the precepts of the church, there are five of them. I forgot to write them down, so I'm not sure I will be able to recall all five under this very high-pressure situation. But the precepts of the church would be attending Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, confessing serious sins at least once a year, receiving Holy Communion at least once a year, honoring the days of fasting and abstinence that the church gives us. Those mostly fall during Lent. And then the fifth, I did it, providing for the needs of the church. There was a moment I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do it. If we're from Holy Trinity, we might have a sixth precept of the church, which is volunteering at Winstock. So in other words, these six things, attending Mass, confessing mortal sins, receiving Holy Communion, fasting and abstaining, giving to the church, working at Winstock. If we do these six things, then we can have a relationship with God and inherit eternal life. That's the way that we might think. So we could say that these provide the foundation of our spiritual life. But clearly to the man who goes up to Jesus, he was living the commandments, and to him this wasn't enough. He was following all the commandments, but there was something missing. There was something more he felt was needed here. So this is why he runs up to Jesus and says, "Well, how can I inherit eternal life?" And so very beautifully we hear that Jesus looks at him and loves him. And then he says to him, "My son, you are lacking in one thing." This reminds us that there's no part of our heart that's hidden before God, that God knows me perfectly and everything that's in my heart and everything that's lacking in my heart, he knows. God knows you perfectly. Everything that's in your heart, he knows. Everything that's lacking in your heart, he knows. And the reason that he knows it is because he loves us. He's not some impersonal judge who just sees without loving because he sees so impartially. No, God sees because he loves, and he loves so intensely. And to this man, he shows him the one thing that he's lacking. And Jesus says to him, go sell what you have and give to the poor, then come follow me. Why does he say that? Because he could see that this man was attached to his possessions. And so then faced suddenly with this man faced with this prospect of leaving behind these things to which he was so attached. He chooses the things over the relationship with God. And what do we hear? He goes away sad. What's interesting about this is that this is the only time in the gospel that someone leaves Jesus sad. If we think about all the people who approach Jesus in the gospel, so many of them, what are they looking for? Well, they're looking for healing. They're looking for teaching, a word of comfort. How many people leave Jesus healed or inspired or consoled and encouraged? This man leaves him sad. Why? Because he chose his own life, the life that he wanted to live, which was full of possessions, over the life that Jesus was inviting him to. So how are we supposed to understand this? It might feel a little unjust to us. I mean, clearly this man is good. He's a good person. He's following all of the commandments. He desires to have a deeper relationship with God. Why does he have to give so much? And I think we have to say that the answer is because God is the most jealous of lovers. And he will not be satisfied with only part of our heart. He will only be satisfied with our whole heart, our whole self. I think a helpful way actually to understand this whole thing is by thinking about marriage and what marriage requires. When a couple stands up on their wedding day, before they make their vows, there's the questioning. And the questioning consists of three questions, and they have to say yes to all of the questions or the first question is, have you come here freely? And they have to say yes, without coercion. And then the next question is, essentially, do you believe that marriage is a lifelong commitment? Are you planning to give your whole life? Are you planning to be faithful? And the couple has to say yes to that question. And then the third question is, are you open to children? And you have to say yes to that question. If you said yes to all the three questions, then you can move on and make your vows. So we could say that in marriage, there's this basic foundation that's necessary for a relationship between the spouses. Just like the commandments are necessary, the precepts of the church are necessary for our relationship with God. In marriage, it's these. So what is that? It's a commitment to permanence in marriage. So if we are thinking that it might be okay for us to get divorced, we're already violating our marriage promises because there's a permanence required. So if we're committed to permanence, if we're committed to fidelity with our spouse, and there's nobody else on the side but only our spouse, if we're committed to making a gift of ourselves to our spouse, if our conjugal relations remain open to children, if all of these things are in place, then we have this foundation of marriage. But we all know that That itself is not enough for a happy marriage. Why? Because love demands all. Love demands the whole. And so, wives, for instance, if your husbands were to say, "Honey, I love you so much, you have 90% of my heart," of course, you wouldn't be satisfied by that, because you actually want 100% of your husband's heart. So there's a foundation that's necessary within marriage, but then as married couples live their marriage, they begin to recognize the attachments that they have, and those attachments need to be excised from their relationship. So for instance, and this is what younger couples definitely experience when they're doing things the right way, and that's part of what makes marriage difficult. So you have a young married couple, and pretty soon you realize that the young husband is spending about 3 hours a night playing Mario Kart or whatever video game they would be playing. I'm not familiar with much past Mario Kart. So obviously that would arise within this loving relationship as an obstacle to love, because too much time is being spent with the video games. There's not enough time in the relationship. And so something needs to be excised there. The young man is going to be invited by his wife for sure, but maybe by his own heart that is increasing in its ability to judge himself. He's going to have to give up that attachment in order for the marriage to be happy, because his wife wants his whole heart and not just part of it. Or maybe it's revealed that the woman needs to buy clothes every time that she goes to the mall, and too much money is being spent on clothing. And so eventually that's going to come up as an issue that couple has to deal with, an attachment to stuff that is incompatible with the relationship. And if the couple's going to move forward in love, that attachment has to be let go of. It doesn't mean that we can't go to the mall and buy clothes. It doesn't mean that we can't ever play video games. It has to do with where my heart is. And if my heart is given over at all to anything else, that's a problem. Everything has to find its proper place within our love. And so in this situation with this man today, Jesus sees that there's a big obstacle towards his being able to give him his whole heart, and that's that he's attached to possessions and money and wealth. And clearly, this is very easy for us to be attached to possessions and money and wealth, which is why Jesus, out of his jealous love for us, says how hard it is to be wealthy and have a relationship with me. Why? Because we become so dang attached to all of this stuff, and we become forgetful of God and neglectful of that relationship. And that doesn't make God disappointed in us. It stirs up the fire of his jealous love, because he wants the whole of us. He wants our whole heart. Just like a wife is never satisfied until she has the whole of her husband's heart, God is not satisfied until he has the whole of ours. So today, Jesus gives us this blueprint, we could say, for a meaningful life with him. The foundation is the commandments, the precepts of the church. If we want to have a relationship with us, that's the bare minimum. Just like the vows and questions of consent are the bare minimum for marriage to work. But if we're going to be happy, we have to give our whole self. Brothers and sisters, the young man goes away sad. When we don't give our whole self, we just end up sad. This is true in our marriage. This is why many marriages are unhappy, because one or both spouses hang on to something and they don't make a true gift of themselves to each other, and they are sad in their marriage. But in our relationship with God, it's the same thing. When we choose our own way over God's way, we're going to be sad. Jesus doesn't want that for us. Our jealous lover, he wants us to be happy, joyful, at peace in life, in our relationship with him. Thankfully, we meet him today at this Mass. We can share with him our own desire to have a relationship with him. We can share with him our own acknowledgement of the different attachments that we have. Ask him to help us to give these up so that we can be happy in relationship with him because we've given our whole self to him.